Welcome to Engaging the Love, a podcast for parents, sponsored by Allegheny Evangelical Lutheran Church in Nowers, Pennsylvania. Today, we are excited to offer you our first episode, episode one, as we talk about those four letters that many of us probably grew up on, WWJD. We grew up asking WWJD. In our world today, it might seem old school, but asking ourselves and our kids this question of what would Jesus do shows us how to approach situations faithfully. Maybe you're like me, because when I hear those four letters, I'm immediately transported back to the bracelets and the hype of the 1990s. I was amazed that when I began looking into the history of it, it was actually taken from the 1890s, not the 1990s. In the 1890s, the Reverend Charles Sheldon published a book with the phrase, "What would Jesus do?" His book was based on his narrative sermons that he had delivered in his Congregationalist church in Topeka, Kansas, and shared with those asking that question to his congregants in his sermons. However, it wasn't until the 1990s when a youth leader named Janie Tinkleberg began sharing the abbreviation of WWJD. To help remember the phrase, seeking to pause the students in their decision-making process of how to live more like Jesus. This became a trend that inspired creative works, films, songs, even board games. I chuckle as I think about this concept, about how it came about where it has gone, but also how many times we asked ourselves, WWJD. I chuckle also because of a meme that came out several years ago that said, if anyone ever asks you, what would Jesus do? Remind them that flipping over tables and chasing people with a whip is not out of the realm of possibility. Jesus did that. Jesus chased people out of the synagogue. Jesus challenged the money changers who were there at the time. But the question becomes, what does it mean for us today? Is it just something we did, something that was cool back in the 90s? Or is it something that we could look at today in a new way? As parents, perhaps we may ask ourselves that same question, what would Jesus do? As we seek to raise our children, as we seek to see what is going on in the world and how to respond faithfully to it, but also how to teach our children to respond. There are countless passages in the gospel that talk about how Jesus responds to people and how Jesus interacts. In some instances, Jesus initiates the conversation. He goes and he approaches someone, he reaches out, he starts the conversation. But in more cases, someone comes up to him. 25 times in the Gospels, someone asks Jesus a direct question or comes to him directly seeking advice. Sometimes people were just in the right place at the right time and were introduced to Jesus because of location. Many times, Jesus' interactions took place at homes where Jesus had been invited for meals. Others, while Jesus was just walking along a path, and he took time to see people. Very few of Jesus' interactions took place in what we might consider a religious setting, the temple. Which reminds us, when we ask that question, what would Jesus do, that Jesus does not need a special environment to discuss faith and to share God with others. Often in the encounters, the first things that Jesus does is ask a question. Why do you ask me? Who do you say that I am? Who is my brother? Perhaps when we pine for what would Jesus do, the first thing we must do is ask a question of those around us. What do you think about that? When our children ask the question, wanting us to give them the answer, maybe what we need to do is ask them what their thoughts are. Even in the midst of conversation, a new concept that I came across from a book called High Conflict by Amanda Ripley brings up a concept of looping, which asks clarifying questions to the person who is speaking, seeking to make sure that we understand what they were saying. Basically, we ask the question, "This is what I heard. Is this what you meant?" Because often Jesus does the same thing. So when we beg that question, what would Jesus do? Often it becomes a question. Trying to learn more by asking and by listening. Jesus sought to connect with people's thoughts and feelings. He challenged social norms and traditional understandings. It is said that Jesus' comment about the notion of an eye for an eye to clarify the law, to beg questions. Yet he often asked for clarification under the law. He wanted to know what people thought, how they interpreted the law, how they figured out the Ten Commandments. Because Jesus said he came to fulfill the law, not to abolish it. Yet often Jesus sought to challenge people. Today we're going to discuss the lead up to the parable and to go through the parable of the Good Samaritan. Because in this passage, Jesus asks the question, what does the law require of you? So I invite you to listen to the lead up and the parable again from the Gospel of Luke, the 10th chapter, verses 25 through 37. Just then a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" The lawyer answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this and you will live." But wanting to justify himself, the lawyer asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers, who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, 'Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" The lawyer said, "The one who showed mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." There's a lot in that passage. The lawyer who comes up to test Jesus, but to ask a question. Wanting to know how to justify himself. But Jesus, as we saw, asks the question. Asks too, what is written in the law? What do you read there? And in his answer, he gives the right answer. He gets a gold star. But the lawyer's not done. It says, wanting to justify himself, he asks the other question, who is my neighbor? Jesus doesn't give him a straight answer, but tells him a parable, tells him a story. So if we ask, what would Jesus do? If we ask WWJD, and we look at this parable, Jesus first asks the question, what do you already know? What is in the law? What are you supposed to follow? And then the correct answer is given. But not enough. The lawyer, as we said, wants more. He wants to justify himself, whether it's in front of everybody or just to make sure he is living into that law. And Jesus gives him an out. Before that, he says, do this and you'll live. Follow the law. But the lawyer presses the issue, wants to clarify, well, wait, but who is my neighbor? Who should I have to do this with? Give me some boundaries so I don't have to go far. That's a great question. So when we are asked, who is our neighbor? And we want to answer it as Jesus did, when we say, what would Jesus do? Well, in a way, he evades the question because he doesn't give a direct answer. He doesn't say the one down the street or the people in your community or in your state or in your nation. He shares this parable, the parable of the Good Samaritan, someone who was seen as, well, less than desirable in his time, someone who they shouldn't associate with, was the one who shows mercy. And so even in that, Jesus turns it around to have the lawyer look at someone who he would rather not see. And then Jesus asks the question. Because at the end of the parable, he finishes. And he asks the lawyer, which of the three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? So he challenges the lawyer and he challenges those who are listening and he challenges us to think of it differently. Jesus continues with a challenge, but it's also an invitation. He encourages the lawyer who was looking about what does it mean to connect with a neighbor. Jesus offers the invitation of to go and do likewise. Now, it may seem like an empty statement, that a way to get out of it, but Jesus gives the lawyer and those around him an option. It's not a demand. It's you wanted to know how to love God and love one another and love your neighbor. Here is the option. Here is the invitation to go and do likewise. So how do we impart this to our kids? That may be a question that you're asking. Maybe we don't want to bring back the WWJD culture. Maybe we don't want to, you know, pull that out of wherever it was, and our kids would probably just roll their eyes at us if we started talking like that again. But maybe what we can do is offer opportunities to teach, to listen, to ask questions, and to learn what Jesus invites us to do. Jesus challenged those around him to see people differently. Just because our current culture says this group is bad or less doesn't actually mean we should see them that way or that they're all the same. Rather, Jesus challenges us to see the good in others. Jesus invites us to see that the one who showed mercy may not be the one that we expect. I'm sure when Jesus started the parable of the Good Samaritan, they thought, well, the priest would do it. Okay, no. Well, the Levite will do it. Well, surely the Samaritan won't do it. But that is who offers it. So how do we reconcile this with the world? And I think it's by inviting our children to invest in getting to know other people, and for us to do the same. Jesus met people on their turf, on their home field. He didn't try to get them into the synagogue or wait for them there. Rather, he met them on the roads, by the sea, in the market. Wherever they were, that's where Jesus was. Jesus initiated conversation, but he also made space for people to come to him. He was open enough to welcome others and willing enough to listen and to ask questions. Jesus would often then challenge them to think differently, act differently. But often, we don't hear that he followed through to see if they did it or not. He would simply offer them or give them the option, go and do likewise. Go. Your faith has made you well. What do we do now? If we want our kids to be faithful, we not only have to tell them, we have to show them. We have to participate with them. Maybe we can't get to church every Sunday. Maybe we can't get them to faith formation. Maybe it just seems like it's adding one more thing into an already hectic set schedule. But that doesn't mean we can't learn and teach along the way. What would it look like to ride in the car on the way to an event and put on Christian music? Or share some good things that happened during the week where you saw God? Or respond to challenges or challenge one another? What would it look like to pray for someone who passes you very rapidly, or the person riding your bumper? How would it feel to pick up some trash on your way into or out of the field or the event or wherever you are going? Maybe it's to have some water and granola bars for the people who are looking for handouts at stop signs and at street corners. Maybe it's not enlivening WWJD again, but maybe it's finding a new way, new opportunities to connect with one another, new opportunities to be engaged in what God has in store for us, and to find ways forward. Maybe it's asking them, what does it look like to show mercy? Who is your neighbor? What does it mean to love God? But don't be surprised if they test you. Because aren't we all testing one another? And yet, when we engage in these options, when we engage in these opportunities, these podcasts, these community events and connections, we get to live into what Jesus is calling us to do. We get to live into what would Jesus do? Jesus would engage the love of God with the neighbor, with our families, and with ourselves. Well, I want to thank you for spending this time with me today as we go through our very first Engaging the Love podcast for parents through AELC. We would love your feedback, thoughts, ideas about what you want to hear about, concepts as to how we can walk with you, that we can learn with you. We are here to listen as well, and we are finding ways for you to share those questions and those comments with us. So as we do that and learn together, we pray for you and with you as you walk this journey and as we engage the love of God together. Take care, everybody. Have a great week. We'll see you soon.